You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. Each Monday at 11 a.m., this show brings you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Now, unfortunately, my co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, is unable to be with us today, but I look forward to her return next week. In the meantime, this show will continue to address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, or dealing with addictions. We will introduce you to specialized schools and programs and new innovations that can help you and your family find greater peace and joy together. Now, with over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in these areas of expertise who are making this world a better place for all of us. Now, our topic today is going to be about total health. And I got to tell you, there is nothing more important to the family than total health. Whatever generation it may be, whatever age you are, if you are a family and you are trying to set up healthy habits with your family, or you're trying to deal with your parents as they get a little bit older, things that they can do to keep them around a long time so they can be out there playing with their grandchildren. To me, I mean, right now, that's it. Health is the thing. That is the most important thing that we can be talking about. And fortunately, with us are the authors of a book called The Birch Creek Secret to Total Health. And having read about a third of it, it's not really a secret. I'm glad that they're telling us, but I think once we hear from them, you'll know that it's not a secret. It's something that a lot of us should be doing. So with us is Ron and Julie Odato. They are the founders of Birch Creek Retreat Weight Loss and Wellness Center, and they have dramatically improved not only their own lives, but also the lives of thousands of others through their program, enabling these people to enjoy natural healing and restoration. So listen and find out how, because you can join the many people who are finding their way to this remarkably easy approach to weight loss and health restoration. Ron and Julie, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
How are you?
Anyway, it is great to have you here. I got a chance to read part of the book, which was great because I got a chance to read the portion about really what you did for yourself, which I think that to me is the proof in many situations where you have people out there that are, you know, they're talking about a particular thing. And the first thing that I want to know is, did you do it for yourself? Is it working for you? So tell us a little bit about your situation and how this has worked for you and why you then decided to write a book as well as set up a wellness center to help everybody else.
Well, Alan, my wife, when I was about 50 years old, my wife urged me to go to the doctor because my physiology was just caving in. I was grossly overweight. My joints ached. And this is a far cry from what I was just 10 years earlier. And when I looked around, most of my 50-year-old friends were just like me. So I didn't think anything of it. But my wife was a little younger than I was. And she insisted that I go to the doctor. And I had been sick a day in my life, except when I did go to the doctor, she was shocked. My blood pressure was through the roof. I was about 55 pounds overweight. My triglycerides were through the roof. My joints ached. I began to have a reflux. She diagnosed me as on my way to diabetes, and she urged me to change my diet. She didn't give me too much direction. But my wife and I knew of a person who had lost about 100 pounds in a year, who was grossly overweight. He had lesions in his esophagus. He was pre-diabetic. He was a spitting image of a person ready to drop dead, and he turned his life around in 1 year. So I went to this fellow, Steve, and he's in the book, and I said, what did you do? And he gave me some tips. Well, just on the tips that he had given me, it was a radical change of diet. He said, listen, your life is at stake. Try it. And within 3 months, I lost 36 pounds. My wife saw the results, and she climbed on the diet as well. And I really can't say it was a diet, you know, because I never believed in diets, but it was more of a change of eating habit. And I lost 36 pounds. I went back to my doctor in 3 months. She was amazed. She thought my twin brother walked in there. That was my healthy twin. it was literally amazing. And that started the ball rolling.
Well, share with all of us, I mean, some of these specific things that you did that were these things passed on by your friend Steve.
Well, he said, get rid of all meat and dairy for a couple of months. See how it's like. Start juicing. And I said, I don't want to juice. But I really concentrated on fruits and vegetables, 50% raw, 50% cooked. When I began to get in the swing of things, I wanted more satisfaction. So then we started to juice, and it came a little bit later. But the vitality I felt, you know, one day I woke up, and I had this feature where it would take me until about 11 or 12 o'clock before I could open my hands. They were like my joints were clicking open with pain. And one morning, about a month after I started this, I woke up and I realized this thing that I had for almost a year and a half was just gone. My reflux was just gone. It was almost like somebody flipped the switch. And it was that momentum that literally I got really excited about, because there was no other reason for all this to happen. Plus, I was losing weight like crazy, and I felt great. I was an athlete most of my life. I was in racquetball. I actually did some boxing. I was a skier. And within 6 months of starting this program, I resumed all my activity as if my energy had to be spent somewhere. And that's really what was going on. I was eating differently. And miraculously, I was fortunate because I didn't have the cravings for certain foods like hamburgers and stuff. I had cravings for chips and stuff. So I knew chips and Twinkies were bad. So I said, I got to stop eating that. That's what did it. But I found out later on with investigating and learning a little bit more that it really isn't so much the Twinkies and the chips. It's the standard American diet in its entirety that is dragging physiology into the gutter. And that's really where the reverse came. I just stopped eating the standard American diet, and I concentrated on fruits, vegetables, grains, whole foods, and cooked raw, juicing. And I'd say it's like a new world. It is a new world for me.
Well, let me share something for all the listeners out there. Again, the beauty of internet radio is the fact that while you have, if you're at home or you're at work and you're listening right now, you can open up another window. Go to www.birchcreekretreat.com, and that's birchcreekretreat.com, and open up another page, and you can see that they have a website in regards to this, and you can kind of see a little bit about what it is that we're talking about at the same time in which you're listening. The other thing you can do, everybody knows somebody. You have a loved one of that you have wanted to help, but for whatever reason you felt uncomfortable or whatever. You know what? Send them an email, okay? Send them an email and tell them how to tune into this, and just have them listen for themselves. Okay, because if they get it from somebody else like this, one of the things that I love about this, Ron and Julie, is the fact that you did it yourself. Before you went out to try to tell everybody else about it, you did it yourself, and the proof is within you. I think that's great. So again, anybody out there, jump on, let somebody else know. There is nothing more important, you know, than our health. So and let me ask both of you now, I mean, you know, we know a little bit about how this works with you, but how does your organization, you know, the Birch Creek Retreat Weight Loss and Wellness Center, help people change their lives?
Well, Ellen, when clients come to Birch Creek, they come with the standard problems that everybody has, eating foods that you shouldn't be eating and you know you shouldn't be eating and you don't even know why you are eating. and exercising as little as possible, many people. So when our clients come, we and our staff are very familiar with this situation. So we concentrate on behavior modification while you're at Birch Creek, as well as you know, feeding you healthy foods, putting you on a juice fast, jump-starting your exercise. But while all that's happening, we're really concentrating 100% on your behavior change when you go home. Because at the end of the day, you're going to do great when you're with us, but we really need to concentrate for when you get home. So that's the thrust of our program.
See, and I think that's a great point because, again, even as I'm reading the book, and when you talk about the cravings, and well, but, and you also just mentioned about the fact that most of us know. In other words, it says on the book, secret, but it's not really a secret. Most of us, we know when we're eating chips. We know when we make the decision. We go in and look at a restaurant menu, and there's all of these salads, and we look over at that great big steak over there and go, yeah, I think I'm going to go that way. How do you deal with, as you say, once we get back home, or, you know, and this is one of the things for me is the cravings. I mean, there are times in which, well, I'm craving something sweet or I'm craving something very savory. How do we deal with that?
Well, one of the things that's really interesting is that we attack your behavior, if you want to call it an attack. We attack your bad behavior on a couple of different levels. The first one is an intellectual level. So we literally will sit you down and make you understand exactly what happens when you eat chips. It's not only about weight loss, although everybody seems to have a weight problem, but most people have energy. They don't know why they have no energy. They fall asleep. They don't focus that well. They don't sleep well. And all of those things are directly attributed to exactly what you're eating. So it's not just calories, it's quality. So intellectually, we tell you exactly what each type of food that you like is doing to you. And sometimes just knowing that is step one toward being able to change your behavior. We also attack your emotional attachment to food. And then on a physical level, we work with you to sort of jumpstart your metabolism. So there's three ways that we help you recognize what's happening. And recognizing what's happening is the first step.
That makes sense. Now, I know a lot of people, I know a lot of people that are on, you know, the traditional diet. One of the things that you mention in the book is that you can lose weight and you don't have to count points. You don't have to count calories or carbohydrates or anything like that. I mean, is that really possible, or is that part of a structure that kind of works for some people?
Well, absolutely, Alan. Let me tell you, it actually works for everyone if they can do it, if they can successfully change their diet radically. And that's the problem, isn't it? We have cravings and compulsions that have their hooks in us, and there's a chemical reason why those hooks are in us, and there's an emotional reason and a social reason. But lo and behold, while they're with us, they witness their cravings dissipate. They witness those compulsions just evaporate. Now, they're in a great environment, right? They're in a retreat. But really, we ask them to really take stock of their own physiology. And they all admit the same thing. They say, I can never believe that I can go 3, 4, 5, 7 days, 14 days without craving what I was attached to. And the secret ingredient is knowing that, and I teach them why this is true, that they are completely nutritionally satiated. And you know as well as everyone else, Alan, that if you went to a restaurant hungry, you're gonna order a 4 or 5 course meal, even if you don't know how you're gonna feel at the end of it. If you went into a restaurant satiated, you almost don't want to go because eating isn't that much fun then. So we're only dealing with the taste buds once you're nutritionally satiated. And there's a dynamic that takes place. At Birch Creek, my wife has this philosophy that really helps people get a handle on this. We talk about being practical, not perfect, because if we wanted to be perfect, the first time someone was imperfect, they feel disqualified.
Right.
So we show them how they can we could approach a radical change in diet step by step and really take out the most harmful ingredients, the most harmful foods, and begin to, it's like squatters' rights, begin to take over the place where these foods occupied your whole dietary lifestyle. And we're doing it with octane. I teach people that food, think of food like gasoline in your car. The higher the octane, the more mileage you're going to get, the less waste you're going to produce, the more power you're going to have. And food is diagnosed for people in octanes. And when they understand that, it's a reachable, understandable handle they can get on their runaway problem. And I think it works very, very well with 90% of the people. So everyone approaches this at their speed, but they all approach it with success because we show them how to either inch their way to success or take an entire 50 yards of it and accomplish it.
Okay, and you know, you brought up a good point by comparing it to octane. You know, for you know those of us that have a vehicle that needs the higher octane, and we recognize the fact that it doesn't run as well. Now, taking that to the cravings. So what I hear you saying is that, you know, if I'm craving salt, if I'm craving savory, I'm deficient somewhere. And I mean, is this accurate? That means I'm deficient somewhere. And at the same time, if I would have been eating better, if I would be juicing or whatever, I wouldn't be deficient in an area, so I wouldn't be having the craving. Is that accurate?
Well, it might be too late once you come to me to diagnose that simple solution. But lo and behold, that's how it happens. And when we're craving something, it's usually instigated by this addiction we have. And the addiction is we're addicted. We come out of mommy addicted to nutrition. And when we learn the standard American diet that's low in octane, our autonomic system, I don't want to sound too, you know, theoretically, but we do. We have an automatic system that tells us when we're low in nutrition, don't we? And when we're low in nutrition, we end up seeking satisfaction through our taste buds. And that ties in to the entire food industry that's governed by, you know, the commerce of the almighty dollar and the product. And every manufacturer of food wants to make their food as tasty as possible. And they're hyper-tasting foods that really hook us. And we learn the path to our satisfaction through our taste buds. So what we do is we unplug that path while they're here, and we trade it with high-octane nutrition. And they witness the beginning of turning their ship around, because when their cravings are blunted and when they're compulsions are blunted, they have a better handle with their own willpower to make better decisions.
Now, when you mention about being addicted to nutrition from birth, I mean, is this mean that it's somehow that part of health is controlled through heredity?
Yeah. Actually, we're programmed in a certain way. We all are. And, you know, like a factory that pumps out Chevys or Fords or Rolls Royces. We come from slightly different genetic factories that give us different strengths and weaknesses, right? So we're really at the mercy, if we let ourselves be, at the mercy of our weakest link. So a person may not process protein the same way as another person, or maybe their lifestyle or their heritage leaves them deficient in a particular mineral like calcium or magnesium. Well, what happens then is that because that propensity has been duplicated generation after generation, you have a family trait. And that family trait may be, you know, tending toward fats or leaning more heavily on sodium and things like that. And we really have to understand it better in order to guide ourselves away from our taste buds that are taking us off the cliff like a bunch of lemmings.
I wanted to add something to that,
okay.
Alan. In a very practical sense, you can look at your own life and say, how often have you had a big meal and you're full and you've eaten a lot of food, and yet an hour later you might find yourself standing in front of your refrigerator, opening the door again, looking for something to eat, even though you're full and you've just had a big meal.
Uh-huh.
And that's because even though you've eaten a big, heavy meal, you haven't nutritionally satisfied your body. So your brain is still looking for food. It's looking for nutrition. And so it's really weird because, I mean, I can remember many times being full and an hour and a half later, looking for something to eat like I was bored. But really, it's because my brain is sending out a signal, get nutrition, because even though I ate a lot of tasty food, I never got the nutrition. My brain was still searching for nutrition. And when you can eat foods that satisfy that, that signal gets turned off. And that's where the weight loss comes in. It's awesome.
Well, yeah, and I'm guessing that we must be crossing signals, because if my brain is sending out a signal that I haven't covered something nutritionally, I'm probably not going to fill that with the ice cream that we're looking at for after an hour after dinner.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, now I had another thought in regards to the concept of heredity, and in regards to managing or preventing disease that some of us think comes with the family tree. So if you have in your family tree, if you've lost some people from cancer, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get cancer. And what sounds like what you're saying is that it may be the fact that your family just had a very, very highly acidic diet that was very heavy on meat and dairy products, and yet at the same time, by juicing and by eating more raw vegetables, it sounds to me like we can turn that around. We don't have to make that something that's passed on to us from our ancestors.
That's right, Alan. You know, one of the things that most people are amazed at is when I explain to them that heredity is not a time bomb. It's a tipping point. And that tipping point happens when we've eaten the wrong foods for most of our lives and we've worn out most of the attributes that render food energy useful and waste. And when we begin to wear out, we end up not getting the fulfilled nutrition in any food, and we develop more waste, and it's this toxicity. See, we know now that we develop diseases through deficiency and toxicity, that heredity is a tipping point, not a time bomb. You might have a family tree that has a propensity toward arthritis or cancer or with diabetes, but that tipping point tips when after a lifetime, 30 or 40 years, it's not a lifetime, but at about 30 or 40 years on the standard American diet, we begin to become less effective extracting nutrition from food. So if we're starting or if we're using bad foods for our nutrition, we're getting so much less. There are certain diagrams in the book that express how little the standard American at age 40 is getting on the standard American diet. It's shocking.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the other things that we can do. Now we've talked a little bit about cutting out meat and dairy, about juicing, eating more raw vegetables, more cooked vegetables. Let's talk a little bit about exercise.
Well, I tell you, most people who come to us are overweight. Some of them are very fit, and they've read about our program, and they just want to detox, and they want to get another job. But most people are overweight, lethargic, and they remind me of myself 12 years ago. And we start them slowly, but they can't believe that within a week they're going to be doing what they're doing. Exercise is so important. They're going to eat wonderfully while they're here. They're going to get highest nutrition. They're going to get a lot of protein from earth foods. You can do that. Most Americans don't even know that. And what we do is we begin to detox them pretty quickly. The readily available toxins come out of the body quickly. And we begin to introduce them to a walking program in the morning. Mm-hmm. And if they have a little more energy, we walk them in the afternoon. We have great trainers here at our Birch Creek locations. They'll they'll look at each person and gear an exercise program for each person, and we begin to accelerate them into a place where they never thought they'd be in even 1 week. The body, the human body, is absolutely miraculous in what it can achieve if you can just detox it and feed it nutrition. And what they have is energy they need to spend. And when they have energy to spend and their nervous system wants to spend it, they automatically embrace exercise. And that's the turning point.
Okay, now we're going to take a break, but we will be right back. We are talking about literally total health, all right? So everybody, this is a good time while we take a little break for you to, you know, email your friends, tell those people, loved ones that you have, that if they listen to this now, they're going to get things that may help them extend their life. So again, stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back. I'm Alan Cardoza. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Our guests today are Julie and Ron Odotto, and we are talking about health. Now, I did a little research, and I was kind of shocking, really. Now, I've got one piece of information that came in. It said that in a recent Centers for Disease Control and Prevention survey, researchers discovered that about 34% of adults in the United States, which is approximately 70 million people, are now classified as obese. That the experts at the center agree that obesity is reaching epidemic proportions, and that it even has become a national security threat. So, Julie, Ron, what's your thoughts on that?
Wow. I don't know if they're late or if people didn't actually know our country is overweight. You know, it's horrible. You know, you go to these mega stores like Walmart and, you know, the bigger stores, and they have these little scooters. And you see people in these little rascals, these little scooters that are driving around the store. You know, we can't even walk anymore. I mean, we're losing the ability to even walk. 54% of Americans will die of heart disease. 38% will die of cancer. And the rest of us are dying of diseases that were hardly in existence 100 years ago. The average 8-year-old has plaque in his arteries. Listen, it's the, you know, when I became aware of this stuff and I began to improve my life, and my wife improved our lives because she was a great motivator for me, we learned so much about the standard American diet that we didn't know. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be overweight. It is, you know, if people can change their eating habits and understand where real nutrition comes from, not in processed foods, hospitals will be defoliated of people. Medications would be reduced. Insurance companies wouldn't have this gravy train of ailments that the business runs off of. It's almost horrifying.
Well, Alan, I graduated high school in 1974, right during the baby boom era, and there were almost 800 students in my class. And as I think back now, I can only remember two kids who were overweight out of almost 800. If you go to school now, everybody's overweight. It's quite a difference in one generation.
No, I couldn't agree more. And for those that have heard the show, they know that I travel quite a bit with some of the things that I do. And in some of the countries that I've been to, and I can think of Bulgaria and in Croatia, and they don't have a fast food store on or a fast food chain store on every corner. And it dawned on me that they look a lot like we looked as a society, as you're saying, you know, 30, 40 years ago. You know, that's what they look like. And I was talking to some people there, and they were celebrating in one of the cities I was in that they were getting their first McDonald's. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, maybe you're not so sure on what it is that you're getting into, you know, just as a society. You know, that sometimes following all of the things that we've done here in the West is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah. You know, we have you're right, Alan. We have a program going on in Costa Rica right now. And we just got back from Costa Rica, and it's continuing with our staff there. We're on the Nicoya Peninsula. And the Nicoya Peninsula happens to have some of the oldest living people on Earth. It's called the Blue Zone of the world. And they're living into their 90s and 100s, except that 20 years ago, there weren't paved roads in this region that we're in. All the roads are paved, and a little town of 8,000 have about 6 convenience stores with cookies and Twinkies and crackers. Now they do. And we're going to see an entire generation overnight, because they all are eating this stuff now, fall on their faces with their health. They're just going to collapse. A society that has been so wonderful and clean and pure is going to be overthrown with illness in one generation because of this sudden transformation in their eating habits. And that's how quick it happens.
Well, yeah, and I think another country that is dealing with that now, I was in South Korea fairly recently, and I spoke to some teachers over there, and they said that they have a new program, and I think it's been televised now, where they are taking many of the students that are overweight and that are not exercising, and they're setting up what we would call sort of charter schools over here, but they're specialized schools where they're bringing these kids and they are teaching them how to eat right. They're teaching them how to exercise. They are purposely keeping them outdoors. It's at this particular school, they have no internet access, so they have no gaming. And they said that this is, they're literally now having to focus on this because they've seen such drastic change in their society.
Well, I'm glad to hear they're doing that. It will take a drastic change to reverse the process as well.
Now, in your book, you mentioned you call it a frame of reference for food. Now, what is that, and why is it so important to understand that particular point for our health?
Well, you know, most Americans, if you ask them where they get their nutrition from, they'll say the buzzwords. You know, I get my protein from meat. You know, and that's about as far as it goes. See, and everyone in America has heard the little buzz slogan. Eat more fruit and vegetables, right? Eat less meat and dairy, but they really don't know what that means. You know, it's part of the good news, but really you need some sort of a tool to go forward with. And I think that's what we lack. The frame of reference means to understand what nutrition is and where it comes from. And we're so connected with, if my belly is full, everything will be okay. And it's the furthest thing from the truth, because processed foods do not contain the active enzymes and nutrition in their fullest form. So we're starting at a deficit and we're wearing out our resources. And we cannot, by middle age, extract nutrition from food unless, unfortunately, unless it's raw. So we have a society that lived their whole life eating cooked food.
Uh-huh.
And now we're in the corner and we're saying, well, the only way you're going to get enough nutrition to run your body with in a healthy way is to revert to more raw food. And no one likes to do that because they weren't brought up on raw food. My grandmother was, and maybe my great-great-grandmother was, but not this generation, you see.
So now, I mean, so what are some specific foods that you can share that seem to provide the most? I know, for instance, for me, I've added in a lot of spinach and a lot of kale, and prior to making some changes in my own life, I didn't know what kale was.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. When I give statistics about this, people go, what? I can't believe it. 100 calories of steak equal 5.4 grams of protein. 100 calories of raw broccoli, which is like, you know, the florets, it's about one whole head of broccoli, equal 11.2 grams of protein. So that blows people's mind when you realize that the only place on earth that protein is made is from the action of sunlight on plants. And then it's plant eaters eating grasses, converting it into complete protein, and then getting our protein. So I would say deep greens are a wonderful source of protein. Vegetables are a wonderful source of calcium, as well as fruit. Nuts, seeds, legumes in their raw form contain essential fatty acids and the spectrum of nutrition that we require to run our bodies. Legumes in their cooked form, of course. Brown rice, some whole grains, yes, we need those. And really, you can't but trip over proper nutrition. Well, so it's really becoming adventurous and you know, going to a bookstore and picking up one of those wonderful colored books with vegan recipes that look and taste as good as they look.
You know, and you just mentioned
really,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Alan, also what's really cool now is that sort of this alternative way of eating is becoming trendy, and there's lots of outstanding restaurants and cookbooks, fusion cooking, there's raw restaurants, there's vegetarian restaurants. So particularly if you live in any of the major cities, you can have a lot of fun with this. It's becoming trendy and accessible, which is great.
Yeah, and you know, you just shared something that I guess I never really thought of in regards to the proteins, is that, you know, we're settling for getting our protein in essence second generation. You know, the first generation is the greens that are there, and we're settling for after an animal has eaten it.
Exactly. But when we eat steak, for instance, that animal has assembled all the amino acids to make complete protein. And 20% of complete protein must come from certain foods. They're called essentials. The 80% we can make out of anything practically, but it's that 20%. And until recently, within the last 5 or 6 years, we have learned that complete protein doesn't have to happen at every meal. You can assemble it with an assortment of different foods over a 2-day, 3-day period. So the entire model is gone, you see, in a good way, because it gives us the opportunity now to not always – listen, no one in America is deficient of protein. As a matter of fact, most of the tests done show on every animal show that by reducing their protein in regards to proportion to man, by reducing that animal's protein, they live 30% longer – and they have 50% less cancers, almost across the board. So we're over-proteined. unless you're a bodybuilder or you're an athlete, like, you know, a high-order athlete like an Olympian, you might want to consider making sure you have a large quantity of usable protein.
Okay. Now, I've got a a listener question coming over right now. This one reads, my 14-year-old granddaughter came to visit us this summer from New Jersey, and I was shocked at how much weight she had gained this last year. During her visit, we are struggling because she claims to be a vegetarian, but all she wants to eat is bread, pizza, and starchy foods like potatoes. The only alternative vegetables we could get her to eat were some celery and carrots, which she loaded up with a fatty dressing. Her mother cautioned us not to be too hard on her because she is so sensitive about her weight. So our tongues, again, this must be an interesting grandparent. It says, our tongues were bleeding by the time she left just by holding back from talking to her about this. What do you suggest we do?
Well, you know, I understand their pain. It's very, very difficult, particularly with young girls, because you have to worry about their body image and they're self-conscious, and so frequently it goes way far the other way, and they develop food problems later, eating problems. So it is a very, very difficult subject. And I can understand why the mother cautioned them, particularly because that little girl knows she's overweight. She didn't need anyone to tell them. One of the things that you have to consider is just, first of all, finding a way to get the young lady to be more active. That's usually the first step. If you can get her more active with classes or something fun at the gym, or any kind of activity that might be fun for her, that would be the first step. And frequently when you start that and a few pounds come off, the children or the young adolescents begin to ask questions on how I can reduce my calories more. It seems like with young kids, if you can just get the ball rolling in a non-threatening way, then they'll begin to want to change their eating behaviors afterwards. It's a very specific and individual process for a young person.
Well, I would agree, and I think even I'm looking at a copy of your book right now, and I think the other way to approach it for this grandmother or for the parent is with your book, in big letters, it talks about total health. Now, in very, very small letters down at the bottom, it talks about weight loss. So I think if the focus is on total health and not necessarily saying, you know, you need to lose weight, no, we want to help you with your total health so that you have more energy, so that you have all of these things that's going to, you know, help you to have a better, longer, happier life. I think that would be the first step. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. And we've got another, this is emailed in, and this one says, I am a weight loss and nutrition counselor at a small spa in San Diego. My experience is that people are great at new diets, but after a few months, they revert back to comfort foods and fast foods when any stress hits their lives. How does your system work for long-term results, as I am really looking for a new alternative over the ones we are using at our facility? This is signed Angie.
Well, I would say to Angie that one of the things that we stress is a little thing we call keep the routine but change the food. When Angie mentions comfort foods, that's a critical part of what we talk about with clients, because when you are always turning to food for comfort, and what we say at Birch Creek is that you're actually turning to food for entertainment as well. When you're using food as comfort and entertainment, that would indicate an unhealthy relationship with your food. But sometimes if you're a person who's been doing that for 20 or 30 or 40 years, it may be very difficult to not look at food as an entertainment anymore. So our suggestion is always to recognize the routine that you have where you turn to food for comfort. Maybe it's late night snacking. Maybe at the end of the day, you work all day, you're so exhausted, and you're really looking forward to that me time when you're alone on the couch with you and your food watching TV. That may be such a comfort for you at the end of the day that you're never able to give that up. But perhaps you could keep that routine and switch the food so that you're still having your me time, you're still looking forward to something at the end of the day, but the food that you're eating is just changed a little bit. It's switched for something healthier. And we work with people one-on-one to find those substitute foods so that you sort of keep the routine that you like that keeps you happy, but you're just changing off the food.
Also, yes. Alan, also, there's another aspect also. Julie's great at strategizing with people because she really connects with people on a one-to-one basis. And she literally finds their solution because everybody's solution is a little different. But all people who crave food have learned this pattern of reward and satisfaction. It has to happen because people don't eat foods they don't like. They eat foods they do like. And and when you're led around by the nose by a craving that you feel like you are compelled to fulfill, it's because you've learned how to make your nervous system and your brain from a chemical point of view happy. I tell people this: if you were cold, what would be the first thing you do?
And they put a coat on
clothing. If you were warm, what would you do? Well, I would put the air conditioner on, take off clothing. Well, that homeostasis, that comfort zone that we're living in, has to be maintained. Once it's, now things can drive us out of that zone very easily, right? You could have a relationship that drives you out of that zone. You could have peer pressure that drives you out of that zone. And for comfort, we're going to find something that makes us happy. And taste is the superficial gateway to making the nervous system happy. So there are things going on in the brain. I would suggest that the person who asked that question pick up a couple of books on addiction to understand the kinds of chemicals that are keeping this person locked in this routine, like a dopamine dump, like noradrenaline. All of these neurotransmitter hormones are literally readjusting the brain, and we do it with taste that creates a chemical and physical sensation that triggers the production of these chemicals. Now, here's the solution. The solution lies by, number one, sending a person through a detox program. Now, I don't mean like drug rehabilitation. I mean like cleaning their system out with maybe a juicing program for 3 days minimum, hopefully a week. Once the body is detoxed, the second thing that happens is their taste buds and their receptors in their mouth become highly sensitized. That means if sugar was their addiction with cookies or chocolate, then dopamine was the trigger element that was being produced. But the threshold now is so sensitized and lowered, they have the opportunity now for the first time after detox to introduce a whole food that has sweetener to it, a natural sweetening. And that sweet taste now drives the brain to the sensation and the path that was learned, and you develop the same response but with a healthier food. The opportunity to introduce substitutes are so much greater once you've given the body about a week's worth of detox. And that's where our advantage lies here at Birch Creek, because everyone comes in with detox first. And they're amazed at how much easier it is to control those things that were uncontrollable when they return home, when they stay on a cleaner program.
Well, Ron, Julie, thank you so much for coming on. Again, I'm enjoying the book. I'm going to continue reading it. And again, for anybody out there, it is the Birch Creek Secret to Total Health. You can go to their website, which is birchcreekretreat.com. And I want to just tell everybody out there a little more is that besides the fact that there is some great information in the book, there are some recipes. So besides reading about the first third, I flipped through the back of it and stuff. There are some really great recipes that they recommend. So I'm going to try some of those and see if we can just improve upon what we're already doing. So again, Ron, Julie, thank you so much for coming on, and for everybody out there. You know, this is just one more way that you and your entire family can achieve total health.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen.
All right. Take care. And for everybody else, I look forward to hearing you, or I look forward to you listening to us again next week here on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Ellen Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.